Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Anybody out there? Well, there is if you're reading The Search for Extraterrestrial Life, from amoebas to aliens, and that's all coming from Laura Krantz, and I'm excited because this is Hysteria 51, David Flora. I lost my breath there. I'm so excited.
Oh, my God. Well, Brent's dead.
Uh-oh.
Time to carry on with that.
We are broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, also known as Chicago, with a, what is it going to be, a book binding all the way to parts unknown. Colorado. How are you doing, sir? What's the weather like right now in paradise of the snow people?
It is 46 and sunny, and tomorrow we're expecting a snowstorm.
No shit. We're still in like the, well, right now it's like 68 or something like that, but tomorrow's the first day it's going to get real cold at night, you know, 50s in the day, yeah, and like 30s, and I don't know if I'm ready for it. Maybe I am. The body. My body's ready. Especially not ready for it. So we just been on vacation. Welcome back, sir. A couple weeks there traveling. The bots are still in TSA holding.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so they've got 10 more days before they get out, unless he can tunnel.
Let Homeland Security sort him out.
He'll either hate it or take over. So one of those things. But like I said, is there anybody out there? A Wild Thing book. We are talking about a book this week. But before we get to that and our returning champion, Laura Krantz, we got some requests. How can our listeners help us out, dear sir?
Oh, boy.
Money. Send it to this offshore account.
Yeah, one thing is you could join Hysteria Nation. That's always a good one. That's at facebook.com.
Wonderful, yeah. I think it's groups/hysteria. I never remember, so I always just say, go to Facebook, search Hysteria Nation. That's the easiest way to find us on there. Discord. We got a Discord. We have fun on there, talking nonsense, watching movies here and there. Last one didn't have a great turnout, so we need to – those are rookie numbers. We got to pump those numbers up. voicemail 773-669-7277. What's another way they can hear at least their opinions or their favorite stories on the show?
You could send us a weird story at weird@hysteria51.com.
That's an electronic mail or an email. This whole this thing's gonna catch on this internet.
I think it's got legs. The best thing, I think, well, I mean, I don't mean to belittle weird@hysteria51.com, because we like to take those and make blurry hysterias out of them. But as Brent said, the voicemail, 773-669-7277, gets you on a voicemail episode.
Yeah.
You know.
And you can hear your own voice and then go, that's not what I sound like, is it? Fuck, I hate that.
Exactly. And then you'd be like, what are they going to say? How are they going to make fun of this? We don't make fun
we
of
just
you.
We went into a new season, so we got one of those coming up sooner than later, so get them in. Speaking of sooner than later, we do have a returning guest this week, Laura Krantz. She's been on, wasn't that long ago, like 20 episodes ago. And if you're not familiar,
you were going to do something about Oklahoma.
She's a print and audio journalist whose critically acclaimed podcast, that must be nice to be able to say, Wild Thing, explores the intersection between science and society. She spent 10 years as an editor and producer on NPR in Washington. That's the District of Columbia. And KPCC in Los Angeles. And her work has appeared in the Smithsonian, Outside, Popular Science. She's an Idaho native. and she received her BA from Whitman College and her MA from the John Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies. That Jeez. Sounds made up.
I mean, Brent obviously is on her LinkedIn page right now, but, you know, if anybody out there does want to hire Laura, there you go. There's her CV.
And she lives in a hop, skip, and a jump away from parts unknown in Denver with her husband, yeah. another New York Times bestselling author, Scott Carney. And they got two cats. Her first model of car was the following, and here is her high school yes, Scott and her mom's maiden name.
Her mom's maiden name, the first car she ever owned, first pet.
She's reached out, and we love talking to her because not only is she a fantastic, fantastic person to talk to, her show, her podcast Wild Thing, and these books, they just, God, they're fantastic. And they incorporate scientific method and journalistic approach and skills to determine if things like, is Bigfoot out there? Do aliens exist? Why did my father watch Hee Haw? Things like that. That one's coming up, I think. We're still in the development phases on that one.
Season 4, yeah. That one's,
I don't know, man.
It's a tough one. It's hard to research.
It is. It really is. This book, and I can't wait to tell her how much I enjoyed it, even though, so it's for kids, like the 9 to, you know, 17-year-olds, but it doesn't read like that. It takes these topics that so many people go, when you watch the news, they go, oh God, UAP was spotted, and they make fun of it. She goes, no, let's actually look into this and find out what's science say. What yeah. could these
what's
things
take-
be?
What's it take for them to get here, for us to detect them? All that really cool stuff that is the nitty gritty when you get down into it, and isn't just like, oh, well, they just time traveled and they're here now and they're all taken over as reptilians.
We already know that, but
she's answering the stuff we still wonder about.
I think that this is a great way to teach kids these things. It's not ham-fisted. It's literally, here is a smart scientific way to look at these things if you're interested in them. And maybe that, if we had more Lauras in the world, would change people's perception or way of looking at these fringe woo-woo topics that aren't so fringe anymore, as we're finding out.
True. And not so much that the topic itself is fringe, but the people are fringy and saying this is interdimensional. Why are you talking?
The thing that you guys, possible. If you're not heavy into this stuff, which you probably aren't, Dave and I spend a lot of time combing through blogs and posts and Reddits and a lot of online groups. And there are some characters, the exact thing that you expect, that's what's in there. exactly. So it is a, we can definitely use a new generation of blood going into these things. And you know, a book like this asking, how would aliens get here? You know, what do they want to find, or where would we want to find them? What does it mean if we do and or don't? You know, it teaches readers to challenge their gut assumptions and opens their minds to new possibilities by using, get ready for it, critical thinking.
What?
And the scientific method, which is all made up.
I'm done. Goodbye.
And she,
can't be bothered.
You know, she investigates the science, the culture, and the philosophy of our universe in which we're not alone, and why the idea of alien life has literally abducted our imaginations. How cool is that? So yeah, man, I'm excited. We're gonna go to break, and when we come back, Laura's gonna class this place up, at least, you know, compared to David. I'm pretty classy. That's next on Hysteria 51.
It's a high bar.
She's gonna pull me up from the mud. Hola, David, me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they design it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn and people, millions and millions of users use it because like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and mm-hmm. it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally though, this is something that we use and both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long-term and it's something that it works. You know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now, right now. Get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. rosettastone.com/today. Do it today.
I like screaming your name, Laura. Just
Hi.
Checking to make sure you're awake.
Kevin!
Welcome back. It's a twofer now for you on Hysteria 51, so we're going steady is what I'm getting
yes.
at.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I hate to tell your New York Times bestseller husband, but we're having a real relationship here.
So. He's out. We're in.
I told you it would work, David.
Nice. You just got to roll those dice.
So how you been? What's going on in your neck of the woods other than like extreme excellence and everything, multiple books and this and that and your own companies and taking over the world and making us all look like it schlubs over here, but yeah.
Well, I've been disabusing people of the latest Bigfoot sighting in Colorado. They keep sending me the images of a Bigfoot the pictures were taken of it from train.
Look out of the train window here, kids.
Yeah, looky there. What's that? That is a man in a Bigfoot suit, people.
it was funny.
No like wild animal has a flowing, glossy fur like that, I can promise you.
Right.
Except for the cryptids. Come on now. What are you talking about? it was funny. Someone's like, wow, what an amazing thing to just be happening to look at that one spot during a train ride.
Yeah.
And seeing that, you know, it was kind of funny.
What story have you ever heard of a Bigfoot sighting where the Bigfoot just like, oh, I'm just going to pop a squat right here?
Yeah. There's no trees for miles. I'm just going to sit here amidst the sagebrush, the dry, dry sagebrush, and look at the trains going past. Maybe it just likes train spotting.
David, obviously you haven't been looking to the same websites I look at, Squatch Squatters and...
Squatchers.
Papa Squatch.
It's a .edu, so you know it's firing on all cylinders. Speaking of firing on all cylinders, I got to tell you something about this book. So I guess I'm going to tell something about myself here. I know it's written, it's for younger people. I loved it. I found it enthralling.
Yay!
And that probably says a lot about me because, you know, I'm looking, I mean, they're like, this is for 9 to, you know, teenage years and all this. And I'm like, this is awesome. This is how I want to be taught things. So little peek behind my curtain there. How, you know, you've been doing, you know, this, you know, with your wild thing and all this. How do you approach writing a book for an age group like that and still making a book like this? I started singing that earlier. And
yeah, Pink Floyd.
And I was like, don't do that. And then I did it. how do you approach like to do a book like that and then also keep it so full of info and, you know, you can, all your research is there. It's an amazing feat, I got to tell you.
Thank you. I very much appreciate it. I also love hearing that adults are enjoying it as much as kids, because to be honest, I feel like a lot of this material, when we learn it in like, or when we learned it in like, you know, elementary school, mm-hmm. junior high school, I felt like I didn't really learn this kind of stuff because it just felt impenetrable and kind of unapproachable.
Well, how dare you put the scientific method to this stuff? You know, how dare you like shine a light on this? David, we talk about it all the time. So many people, well, like you just said with this Sasquatch thing, mm-hmm. you know, too many people just take everything at face value or dismiss it at face value. And you're like, hey, let's look into this. And kids and adults, here's how.
Yeah. Exactly. And the other thing is I don't come from a background of science. I found the science, I like it. I find it fascinating. I found it really intimidating as a kid. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of wanted, both with the podcast and with the book, to put together something that like made it more accessible. And realizing that not everybody out there has a dream of becoming a scientist. They just want to know more about their world. And so that's kind of where I was. But the funny thing, though, with the book was I would be writing something and I'd be like, DNA. And then I'd be like, what's DNA? Oh, my God. I don't actually know. I just know the shorthand DNA.
Yeah.
So I would have to go and figure out what these kinds of things were so I could explain them. Like light. I knew there were different kinds of light, sort of. But explaining what that was and how it worked and like the different wavelengths and how we can see things in different sorts of light, like, I didn't really get all that. So for me, this was much as writing the book was as much an education as pretty much anything I've ever done.
And that's part of this whole process that's so fun for me too, even doing these things, is sometimes it's even stuff I would never probably even look into. And then I have a blast learning about these things.
Yeah.
You know, and you're talking about all these lights. They talk about, well, these animals see and the UV or all the
right,
things.
Right, or infrared.
There's, that like, means there's whoa. Colors that we don't, you can't make up a color, but there mm-hmm. are colors that we can't see. I don't know if that's coming through, but that's just amazing. And there's a whole world, air quotes out there, that is beyond our grasp if it wasn't for science.
Right. And I think the other thing that's cool about this is like, because there's so much out there that we really don't know about,
mm-hmm.
You know, they see in infrared or they see in UV. Well, what does that look like? Well, we don't necessarily know, you know, you and I, scientists do. But
no, just you. I know.
Then it just,
I know.
Yeah. Oh, you know. I'm sorry. How dare I belittle your education? It just makes you realize that you have to be a little bit more imaginative and you have to think about different possibilities in a way that I think sometimes we don't. We get sort of stuck in our way of seeing the world and of looking at things and forget that we're only one perspective.
Oh, man, I think you just said it perfectly. So you're writing this book for people that are still dreamers. And a lot of us adults either give up on dreaming or make excuses not to or feel bad about doing it. And mm-hmm. I think that's a big part of science is dreaming. You know, it's the scientific method is, you know, I hate to be, you know, it's the fuck around and find out, you know, and that's,
yeah.
There's a lot of that in dreaming too, you know, and that's what's amazing. I think that it comes through and people can still look to the stars, so to speak.
I think the scientific method is more like fuck around and find out. Like yeah. It's more cheerful yeah. than fuck around and find out.
And but find that's out.
Just, like the warning, yeah.
But
science is like, try it, bitch.
Yeah, come at me, bro. Yeah. But you know, you're dead right, because like the first step of the scientific method is ask a question. What are you wondering? Mm. And that can be any question. And then yeah, you have to apply some reason and logic. And, you know, basic.
Well, you don't have to. And that's the problem.
Well, yeah, but you should. You should. And but that it's that first part. It's like, oh, my gosh, what if? And that's such a cool space to inhabit yeah. and be able to start from and explore.
Well, you know, and exploring is there's a lot of that whole vibe in this, you know, looking to the stars. Are we alone? And one of the things that you talked about in here that I liked is the idea of what is life is not the little, well, it can be the little green men or the people that are visiting us, but an amoeba, a microbe, anything found outside of here changes everything.
Right.
Because that is life. And I think that is lost on a lot of people because it doesn't have to be the mothership coming down and saying, you know, I'm Valiant Thor or whatever. Take me to your leader or insert whatever trope you want there.
Take me to your reader.
Hey, there you go. Uh-oh. There you go.
The jokes write themselves.
Exactly.
But no, you're right. Like, when you stop to think about what life is, it's like we have a lot of options. There's a range. It doesn't have to be, you know, super advanced space people that with, you know, silvery skin. It's like, if we find microbes on Mars, it's like, oh, shit, there are probably a lot of places.
Yeah.
They're not just going to be two. That would be weird. Just Mars and Earth. But I just think that that's really, really interesting to think about is the whole range of possibilities.
Go ahead,
that's something that you bring up in the podcast, too, in the book, is that we don't really, as our scientific community, we don't really have a good example or a definition, I should say, of what life is, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's not like a single thing we can say, okay, this checks these boxes, therefore life.
Well, and even on this planet, everywhere we go, we find life, no matter how inhospitable it seems. From vents on the bottom of the floor that are hundreds of degrees and no light to, you know, outside of volcanoes to the permafrost, all these places that you think you would never find anything is teeming with life.
Yeah, and that I thought was really interesting because we didn't actually figure that out until the 1960s. There was a scientist who was doing research in Yellowstone who realized, oh, there are things living in this boiling hot water. And then once you realize life can be there and you start looking around, you're like, wow, life is kind of everywhere in places that right. we never would have even dreamed of looking because we're a little self-absorbed and we're like, well, we can't live there. Who would want to live in that?
Right. And that's what you talk about, how these biologists or astrobiologists, I guess, are looking for building blocks. They're not looking for, you know, a flag saying, come visit us. They're looking for signs of life, which means, you know, byproducts of the things that keep us alive, you know, from gases and things like that.
Yeah. I mean, they're looking for the types of, you know, the elements that make up life that are important to life on Earth. So carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus, and sulfate. Did I get those right?
And beer and porn.
And beer and cheese. Yeah. Well,
I was going to say they should just be looking for Trader Joe's in space.
Chocolate-covered caramels are so good.
Except for when I go to the salad bar and I think I didn't get that much and then they weigh it and I go, I'm not paying $20 for that, and then I do. But, you know,
yeah.
that's my Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's has a salad bar?
The one by us has, like, you can go in and they have, like, a salad bar. They also have the foods and stuff. It's like a little lunch spot in there. And you can...
They
do it by the pound. It's the one in... It's the one
fancy
in...
Fancy-ass Trader Joe's.
I'm trying to think of the name of the town.
Clearly, an advanced alien race has already been to visit you.
That's what I'm saying. Those places, they're so packed with life. Every time I go, I can barely move. So that's what they need to be looking for.
When you're writing this, and you know, one thing I love is you talk about, you have all your research, you have all this. What was the biggest, not aha moment, surprise to you, would you say, in writing a book like this? You're like, I didn't know that. I mean, other than what DNA means. you know, what was the, was there anything that you're like, wow?
Well, there were a couple. The first one was the actual, like, scientists don't know what life is. Like, we recognize life. When you see it, kind of like, you know, that Supreme Court case where they were talking about porn and they're like, we know it when we see it. Same thing with life. But we don't really know, like, how do you get from inactive, inorganic, you know, inactive chemicals, a little soup, into an actual, like, living thing.
And that's, like, that's the thing they always say, like, how did this stuff become a soup? And then the proverbial lightning strikes and it goes, I want to pay taxes.
Yeah, I like pants. I want to put them on.
No life would ever.
No
say
one
that.
Likes Come pants. On. I mean, not a one of us have pants
Shenanigans.
On.
Shenanigans.
That's
true,
the beauty of Zoom.
Oh, party! Yeah, no pants on the bottom.
And Laura's never coming back on Hysteria 51.
Yeah, no. Laura's like, I'm not going back on those Donald Duck and motherfuckers.
I'm sorry, I don't want you to put that out. And here is a note from my lawyer.
Life doesn't want pants, but we don't even know what life is. So that was the first big surprise. And then the second one wasn't so much a surprise as it was like a dawning realization. Like, I knew space was big, but when you start to put numbers to it and you start to think about time.
That part makes my head spin just reading
it.
And we don't really understand those sizes, but even not really understanding them is mind bottling, as Will Ferrell would say. It makes no sense, and it makes too much sense at the same time.
Yeah, it's just kind of overwhelming to stop and think about it. So, like, there's one photo in the book. I think it's towards the end. It's like page 135. And it's the photo that was taken by the James Webb Space Telescope that kind of mimics the one that was taken by Hubble, you know, several decades ago. Looking out into the distance, all of these stars and galaxies. And then someone tells you that that is the equivalent of a grain of sand held on the tip of your finger at the end of your arm. And that is the, like,
and there are absolutely frame. Just galaxies. And that was when they were focusing on a dark part of the sky.
Right. Just one tiny, tiny part.
They were like, well, we don't know if there's anything there. Let's see what's there. Holy shit. More than you've ever seen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so that is just, it blows your mind. You're like, that's really far away. We're never going to get there. How could there not be anything else out there?
All right.
I'm still the most important thing, though. I want you all to know that.
Obviously.
Me, you know, it just makes you feel silly. It's those, you are here, you know, and they have the little dot, you know, and like, and you're worried about having to, you know, go to work on Monday or something like that.
Putting pants on. You're worried about putting pants on.
Crying in the shower. That's the one I keep seeing. It's like, here you are crying in the shower, and it shows the whole galaxy.
How else do you shower if not crying? I don't even, that doesn't even make
sense. That's how you
sense
get your cheeks
me.
Clean.
It's exfoliating, yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Man,
I was super surprised to learn about when one of them said how everything gives off light to some capacity.
Yeah.
Even us.
That, yeah.
Even us.
Just not necessarily visible light. Like, there's all kinds of different wavelengths that we're talking about, which also blew my mind.
It's crazy.
Yeah, what a weird world we live in.
It's so weird that we get into this mindset of, we're talking about life and giving off light and all these things. Even though we look into all these weird places, like I said earlier, and we find life, we have a very, we don't, as you said, don't understand what life is, what makes it up. We have a very strict looking of, we are looking for X, Y, and Z because that's what we're used to. But it could be A, B, and C. You know, they might not be carbon-based. They could be silicone-based. It could be all these things. And that's also a whole nother thing of just always, like, you know, for what we know, there's so much more that we don't know. And that's what's also fun about science and learning about these things, is it really, you know, for children and adults alike, opens your mind to the what ifs. It's one of those books that I went in and I came out with more questions and answers in a good way. You know what I mean? Like, inquisitive. I want to learn more. Not like, why the hell did she write that? That wasn't the question.
She didn't answer anything. She didn't even answer the question on the title.
I would have liked more choose your own adventure parts. I will tell you that, though. That's the only thing that was missing.
Those are hard to write, I have a feeling.
It needed more ninja fights. That's the only thing that was...
I'll write that note down and pass that on to my editor.
Pass that along. Write that down.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I thought that actually one of the best analogies was, like, you know, we have life could be a whole range of things, and we only know life based on what we've experienced here on Earth. So that's kind of where we have to start looking, in this idea of, like, if you've dropped your keys, even if you drop them, you don't know where you dropped them, and you're going to start looking under the street lamp because that's the place you can see. That's the thing you recognize.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a really interesting way of talking about how we're doing this search.
Yeah, and we're looking out into the cosmos and looking, but you also talk about how there could be tons of life in our own solar system. You know, it doesn't have to be so far away. There's life on Earth. We're still, as much or as many species as we're murdering every year, unfortunately, they find new species on Earth every year. And then we've got these, you know, moons orbiting other planets in our solar system that could have underwater, liquid water and teeming with life. We don't know. It's just such a fun, you know, mind experiment or thought experiment or whatever you want to call it. For people like me that the couch scientisticians that love thinking about it.
I'm a couchologist.
I've got my PhD in that, I think so. David, what was your favorite part?
Well, I mean, besides the
besides
light
the end, yes,
stuff. No, I always love it when talking about the scale of stuff and how Laura talked about going out to UC Boulder and walking through a very small scale, you know, replica of the space between everything. And it's funny how, you know, Brent, you hear that and it's kind of overwhelming in a good way to you. And I think some people hear it and it's overwhelming in a bad way.
My wife. So literally I talk about that with my wife, the size of things in space, and she gets always weirded out. And we were talking about that in the book and she goes, nope, I don't like that. And I always go, why? She goes, it just doesn't, it makes me feel like uncomfortable. Cause she's like, I can't grasp it. She goes, it makes me feel dumb. I go, well, no one could really grasp it. That's part of the fun to me. But what you're talking about too, David, it is cool. Like when you were talking about there is putting it into a perspective that you can grasp. So at least it's a smaller bite size, you know, and then they go, but multiply that by 16 trillion. You know what I mean? Like, and then, you know, some ungodly number. And that's what it's
then really you're like. Back to being like, I that's really big. I'm
drooling in the corner
is.
And crying in the shower.
Yeah.
Oh man, it is to be a fly on the wall of an advanced species if they are out there that know all this stuff. You know, it's just and what's your over under? Are we alone? Now I think I asked you this last time. I'm not talking about the amoebas. Do you think there's intelligent life out there?
So there was a really great.
That's my favorite answer ever.
Yeah, it was a really great.
No, I really like that. I like that because I kind of agree with that. But yes, keep going.
Yeah. So I wish I'd known this before I'd written the book, because this was someone trying to explain intelligent life in the universe. And they were talking about the lights on a Christmas tree. And they were saying, you know, if you've got the blinking string of lights on the Christmas tree, let's say a light blinks on, and that is an intelligent civilization. And then it blinks off, and then another one blinks on, and they're never on at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was another like, you just blew my mind.
This grand equalizer of time and distance and
yeah.
And human, not human, but greed and our own ability to probably
self-destruction.
Exactly. I say I think that's probably a common theme if there is life out there.
Yeah. And that kind of made, you know, I think prior to that, I was like, oh yeah, there's probably an intelligent, you know, other intelligent life out there somewhere. And now I'm like, well, maybe there was, but maybe their period of being intelligent and around was short lived.
Do you know what that's terrifying, right? Like, because it makes us face our own mortality almost.
I weirdly, this is, you're going to think I'm a total weirdo now.
I already do. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
In some ways, I find it kind of comforting.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of like, we can neither, we can't destroy everything. That these things happen, that there is rise and fall, that there is, you know, incoming tides and outgoing tides. And
it's bigger than us.
It's just a big rhythm of things, and it's bigger than us. And I feel better about that than if we were in a little bit more control and our actions were going to have, you know, ripple effects that took out the whole universe.
Dave and I were talking about this recently, and I said one of the scariest things to me would be if we are actually alone. Like, yeah, and I mean, like, creepier. There's nothing been, and I'm agreeing with what you're saying, but never in the past or the future will there ever be anything else. We're in this just cosmic soup ball flying out there, and we're the only thing. It's just like when all the UAP stuff started coming in, and the government's like, we don't know what it is. And I go, if they really don't, that's terrifying. You know, somehow that seems scary to me. I know. David, what do you think?
I just, this is another thing that I was kind of mind-blowing when I was reading the book and, you know, listened to Wild Thing, was about how there are windows of opportunities. Mm-hmm. And when we started putting out radio waves and stuff, our window opened, yep. You know, for detecting that sort of that sort of signal in space.
And because the wonderful first signals that they're getting from us.
And yeah, exactly. Yeah. And those are going out into space and everything. And they have, the window is a civilization putting out something like that that is measurable, and another civilization having the ability to measure it at that same time. And that is a very small window. And Laura brings up the point that the window keeps closing because for us, as an example, as a readily available example here, what we're putting out into space is getting smaller and smaller because everything's becoming kind of insular. We're using fiber and Wi-Fi and all that stuff, you know, instead of radio signals that go out everywhere, everything's mm-hmm. kind of closing in now. So it's to me, it's a little bit sad to think that if there are others out there like us, then there's a very slim chance that we're going to cross paths that way.
First, we sent out some nudes and in a directions to our house on a rocket, and then we bombarded
along with
crap.
Some Marvin Gaye, right?
Get it off. But what you're talking about, like anything, like okay, the gold records, these things, for them, they could have been more advanced, less advanced, or even just developed differently than us. They would maybe not even realize that that's what it is, or to pick it up now.
Yeah.
Obviously, they probably would if they're, you know, even advances us, but that's a big if. And like you said, these windows of the time, the space, everything, like they close so fast.
Yeah.
And I think that we think of like time as in our, you know, our lifetimes are specks even in you know, our time, you know, yeah. And we're talking now on a cosmic scale of billions and billions of years. I just went cross-eyed again. So, yeah.
Excuse me. I need to go cry in the shower. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah. You know, it is a, it's a daunting thing to, it's amazing for these scientists that look at this and go, I'm going to figure this out.
Well, I think that's an interesting point because I don't know that they think they are going to figure it out, but I think they think they're going to help add something to learning about it. And
I think that's
one thing we forget about scientists and science in general is like, it is very much building on the backs of whoever came before you. You are taking what we know, you are testing it again, using, you know, more modern technology and the knowledge that we have. And you're saying, does this still work? And then you are building on that. But I think most scientists are not going to come out and say, yeah, I'm going to solve this problem, or I'm going to give you the answers to this. They're going to try and do everything they can to further the understanding.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, at least the ones I talked to, there was no sort of expectation that they were going to necessarily get an answer.
Well, that's true. Yeah. That's, and I think that's the point too, is we as in, the random people, we go, we want to know
these things. The couchologists.
Yes, exactly. And I think that that's not realistic, whereas these people go, well, I can figure this portion out. You know, the theory of everything, so to speak, is a beautiful thought, but it's probably not really realistic. Or if it is, it's beyond us right now. But, you know, in our short little snippet worlds of everything's got to be, you know, packed and ready to go, we expect results and answers right away on when we don't even understand what's really we're asking a lot of times of these things.
Our daily consumption of information does not match the way science and time and geology and, you know, biology work. Like, it's just nothing's moving at that speed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except quarks. And quarks might be moving at that speed.
And people need to also remember that a no is still an answer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, so a lot of people think when scientists test something and they get a result, but it's not the one they thought they were going to get or were looking for, it's still a result. It's still an answer, and it still adds to the data set, you know?
Yeah. Just because you didn't like the answer doesn't mean it's not an answer.
Okay, mom right. and dad growing up. Just because you didn't like my answer doesn't. Because yeah. I said so. That's the new science. Because I said so.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that science is pretty established these days, Brent.
Right. Uh-oh. So what's next? You got anything else you're working on that you can share with us? Or is it all hush-hush top secret and you're getting your shield checks from the government now and, you know, just going to go bye-bye and not have to worry about it?
Well, I'm living in a bunker and I haven't seen
I've started my prepping.
Yeah. So there will be a third book in the series that comes out next fall, and that is about the intersection of science and magic. And how ooh, things like ooh. Alchemy were foundational to chemistry, astrology to astronomy, how curses can work if you believe in them because of things like the placebo and nocebo effect, which yep. are things that scientists don't quite fully understand yet. So there's some interesting intersections there. So that's book three. And
that's
then,
exciting.
I know.
That they've all been exciting. So I'm...
Yeah,
why are you surprised, Brent?
Magic, magic, science, or magic, space, and Bigfoot. I mean, you're like, you're reading my resume yeah. or something.
Triple
here. Come on,
crown. yeah, and that one was not based off the third season of the podcast, which had been about nuclear.
Yeah,
which the publisher was like, the kids aren't going to like this. And I was like, I bet the kids would like this, but you're the publisher, so.
Depends on how many ninja fights, right, Brent?
That's exactly
yeah, that's
right.
True.
Always keep your finger on that back page. You can always go back. Just remember that on Choose Your Own Adventure.
And then that it's sort of an open-ended question. I am debating doing more podcast seasons right now. You guys may not be familiar with this, but the podcast industry is really...
I don't think it's going to take it, off. I don't, I'm not...
Taking it on the chin a little bit lately. So while Wild Thing, I'm not shutting it down, I might be taking a little bit of a break until we can kind of figure out, you know, how do you make money doing a podcast? How do you make money during a podcast?
I mean, we sold out a long time ago. Just hawking sex pills and you know, anything. I know it is. I tell you what, man. So I own a studio outside of just doing this, and I have a lot of people that, you know, we outside of like the voiceover and all this stuff. I got a lot of people that try podcasts, and the first thing they say is, "How long until I start making money?" And they don't like when I do that laugh right afterwards.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you the same thing.
It's a little sad because I do love it and I don't necessarily want it to go away, but I have to do some things that will make some money so I can.
Yeah, you know, and so, you know, I peek behind the curtains here, but David and I, we do this full time so that we can make a living doing it, you know, and I don't know how I would do this and make money if I didn't do it full time, you know what I mean? And because I'm not a celebrity or something like that. And that's not taking anything away from them. But you know, we try to put out the best content we can and keep consistent with it. And you know, it's hard work, you know, I'm not digging a ditch or in the mines, so to speak, but, I'm still working. I just can work. I can work with no pants on.
Exactly. What do you need pants for?
Exactly.
That's how you know you're truly alive.
Officer, Laura told me I don't need pants.
There's no law against podcasting half naked.
Yes, I was. This Laura Krantz. K-R.
She lives in
a state of delusion.
Kind of. So, yeah, for the meantime, I'm working on someone else's podcast, and we're talking about politics and money, which is.
Oh, just fun.
Super nice.
And then you go home every night and take another crying shower. That's. I didn't know you hated yourself. That's cool.
I like to suffer every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's why I went into journalism.
That's right. Yeah.
Are you in the shower right now? You're going to electrocute yourself. Get out of
there. There's no law against this, man. What are you, a cop?
Yeah, it's there's so much going on, and you've got a lot of irons in the fire, as you know. So, you know, to be a creative is not the easiest thing in the world sometimes, you know, and it's an ever evolving climate, you know, and you kind of got to stay on top of it or you drift away, so to speak, you know. So
yeah, so we'll see. I've got, you know, there's options out there. It's just figuring out which options I want to take.
Plus, she's pulling double shifts at Hardee's, so those bills are getting paid. So
is Hardee's still around?
You know what? I just drove. We just took a driving vacation. There's no Hardee's, and I've never seen so many Hardee's in my life.
Really?
Like Tennessee and South Carolina and everywhere.
I think it's a Midwestern cutoff thing. The it east of it, it's Hardee's. West of it's Carl's. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have Carl's.
Same thing.
Okay. Same thing.
Just different name. So you know.
Good to know.
Well, now that's fun. You that's your Hardee's Carl's. Talk this week on Hysteria 51. Next up, Wendy's. Well, thank you so much.
Do you dip your fries in Frosties?
Hey, yes, no, and that's gross. And I'm judging you now. I my wife has done that in front of me. We almost got divorced. Ugh.
I guess we're not going steady anymore.
Hey, it was fun while it lasted. You can have the kids. No. Laura, thank you so much for doing this. This is a blast. And I want to tell you, if you got kids, they should read this. You guys should read this because it was so good. It's the, you know, the second one in a row that I think have just been fantastic. And you convey so much high quality, high brow information in a way that is so palatable. And I don't know if it's coming through with what I'm saying. It's so easy to read and learn while reading your stuff. And also, your background in journalism, you write fantastically. Kudos to you. And I hope everyone goes out and goes to the show notes. You'll find the link to this. Please pick these up and read it.
Awesome. Thank you so much for reading it and for having me on and for such nice words.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hope to have you on again in the future for many, many, many more books, except for your politics and money. You know, I got a suicide pact I got to get to instead of doing that. So.
Fair
All
enough.
Right. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with more Hysteria 51.
Man, what a great guest Laura is.
Meh.
She's smart. She's fun.
She's
got a great product here too, both with the podcast and the book. I really enjoy listening to the podcast. The book is gorgeous. I've loved reading it.
It's so stylized with the photos and the art is fun, and it's got this very unique color palette to it.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's just spot on. So yeah, definitely you guys need to check that out.
And we'll have links to all that and her show in the show notes. So I can't wait for
this magic and alchemy stuff too that she's talking about.
Oh my god! Yeah, some of my favorite weird episodes have been like when we talk about magic and alchemy and how. And I'm sure, knowing her, she's going to go into, is magic science and science magic that we don't understand? You know,
right.
it's the whole. You know, what was that? Thor, like, well, you see it as magic. We, you know, what you call science is magic and vice versa. Right. You take back a camera to the Dark Ages and we'd be burned at the stake.
You predict an eclipse.
Uh-oh. And she has such a good way of breaking these things down to make them manageable. Does that make sense?
Yeah. 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 She's a good filter to... take the highfalutinness of it all and then distill it down to where everybody has a chance to.
She's not pandering to children or adults.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah.
But it's written, you know, it reminds me of a much easier to digest Stephen Hawking.
A Brief History of Time.
Yeah. Brief History of Time. Thank you. Where they try to take these really heady things and make you understand them. Well, she takes these really not as heady, but more like chuckle things and goes, no, there's a lot of science to this, or maybe there's not. Let's find out.
Yeah.
And that's why she's great. And, you know, her looks into Sasquatch. And then she has another not chapter, but season to her show where she talked about nuclear energy.
Nuclear energy.
And, you know, and it's, you know, how it evolves into our world. And she said that's like she just said, this is probably not going to be one of the books, but we're probably going to skip to magic, which, you know, I'm ready to gather anytime there's magic. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I am all about the gathering there.
You've had her on your show a couple times too, right?
So yeah, I was just going to say she was. She also talked to me about this new book, and
that was during our intervention for you, right?
That was partly that came out of that, but yeah, parlayed it into a nice episode for Blurry Photos. So head over to Blurry Photos and check out my interview with Laura. It's just me solo. I get into some of the stuff we had mentioned on here, like everything giving off light and the distance between things being so crazy, you know, unfathomable. And like, how does that make us all feel? Like I ask her, I talk about, you know, what it means to me and stuff. And it's just one of those, it toes the line of scientific learning and philosophy in a way.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's what's great is it reads as something that you can digest. And I keep saying that, but so many of these
it'll
things
give you
read like
burn,
stereo instructions. What'd you say, Sonny?
It'll give you heartburn, but you can digest it.
Yeah.
Just pop a Pepcid.
So make sure you check her stuff out because it's great. And listen to the show and send her all your money and, you know, and all praise be to Lord Krantz. No, she's great. As you heard in the interview. Krantz. What's that?
Long live Queen Krantz.
That's right.
Yeah, all that stuff's going to be in the show notes, so check that out.
Yeah, and if you heard from the... You heard from the interview. She's fantastic to talk to. If you heard from the last one, she's fantastic to talk to. That comes through in her podcast, too. It's super entertaining. Make sure you check it out. And also check out a couple other shows. Quiz Quiz Bang Bang, Blurry Photos, 5 Minute Frights.
Oh my gosh.
I'm out of breath again. What else are you working on right now?
Theater stuff, man. Yeah. Running a theater company, firebirdcb.com. But... if you guys wanted to help out without, you know, spending any money bills, go follow our social medias for Firebird Theater.
Yeah, do Firebird Theater, do Hysteria 51, do Blurry Photos, all those. And guess what? You can always click share and invite all your friends. It's free and it helps us out so much. Exactly. It really, really does. And I can't thank you guys enough for letting us do this for you guys for a living. You know, sentimental and teary-eyed, but I really, really, really appreciate it. So we can't thank you guys enough, and we'll be back next week with some robots, unfortunately.
Uh-oh.
And with that said, I've been Brent.
I've been David.
And there's been no conspiracy bot.
That's why Brent's really weepy.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. We'll be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.